reviewing episode 7 of The Last of Us, and full disclosure, I am still a little emotional from that episode, and let's just get right to it. This is the Left Behind episode, which was, of course, the story of Ellie and how she was bitten, and her relationship with Riley. And this episode, we pick it up, not exactly of the timeline from where we left off at the end of episode 6, with Joel being stabbed in the stomach, but we pick it up. They're in a neighboring town, and they're in the basement of this little house that Ellie has found for them to shelter in the meantime, and she is just scrambling, trying to figure out what to do with regard to how she's gonna save him. He's still bleeding out, and she's just unsure of what to do, and Joel starts pleading with her to leave him, head north and go to Tommy's, and she seems very resistant to it, but then she starts to leave, and just as she approaches the door, she's about to open it, she stops, and then we flash back to however many months earlier, I would say almost a year earlier, I would say maybe at least 6 months earlier, where we see her in Fedra school. She's training, she's doing, you know, a running little exercise, as you do when you're in military training, and we see that, yeah, she is training and learning to be a Fedra soldier, Fedra officer, because that is what, you know, you're supposed to do, as to be the quote-unquote good guys of this story and of this world that they inhabit. And she gets into it with a girl named Bethany that teases her, because Ellie's running around, she has a little Walkman on, and she teases her, tells her, like, oh, I'm not gonna do double rounds, you know, because of whatever the fuck she said about to her. And it says, like, then Ellie says something like, you know, I don't want to fight you over this. And then Bethany teases her some more, saying, oh, you don't fight, your friend fights, and she's not here anymore. And we cut to her being with the principal's office afterwards, because she fucked up Bethany, apparently. And to the point where apparently, I think they mentioned that she's in the infirmary now, so yeah, must have done a good number on her there. And then the guy that's, I guess he's the head of their little school, the principal, for lack of a better term, gives her the options of, like, you know, tells her, like, you know, you're a smart girl, but you're also stupid, if, you know, we've all heard that at some point, you know, whatever the situation might be. But he tells her, like, you know, you can go down this path, and, you know, if you behave like a grunt, you're gonna be treated like a grunt, and, you know, be taking orders from the Bethanys of the world, or you can take this path, do what you're told, follow the rules, and you can be the ones giving orders to the Bethanys of the world, basically. And she chooses the path of this, you know, following the orders. And we cut to her, and this is where, if you've played the Left Behind DLC, the story picks up from this point of it, where she's in her room, it's lights out, and Riley comes into the room, sneaks in, and surprises her that she's gonna take her out on the best night of her life, and if she's resistant to it at first, but then Ellie goes along with it, and I keep saying it on all these episodes, but praising the production design and the visual effects department, and for the phenomenal job that they've done creating these environments, creating these sets, creating this world, because the majority of this is not even a real location. A lot of it is, there is practical effect, because they, you know, remember from episode 5, where they, that abandoned neighborhood, where they have the big fight with the bloater and all the infected, that all those the houses were built from scratch, legit built on this little abandoned little area. But for here, they had to build these rooftops and create this environment to look as real and authentic as possible. And because this is supposed to be the Boston QZ, and it looks so well designed, well created, well captured. Again, props and visual effects people, phenomenal job, and I hope they get all the award recognition as well, because they are the unsung heroes of film and television. They really are. And then when we get to the big location that Riley is taking Ellie to, and also before I continue, Storm Reid as Riley absolutely wonderful performance. The chemistry that her and Bella Ramsey had throughout this episode felt so natural, so real, so authentic. Her portrayal as Riley and bouncing off of Bella Ramsey's Ellie, such a perfect relationship that they've built throughout this. And you felt that they were real friends, that they had been best friends for however long that they've known each other. And again, it just felt so genuine and authentic, and I love that. And it just emphasizes and reinforces what I've been saying from the beginning, that it doesn't matter if they look the part as long as they can act the part, because when you act the part, that's what matters the most. And because I even tweeted it out that people that do fan casts based on how the actor looks is very lazy, because if you do it based on the looks, you're doing it at the sacrifice of the performance. I mean, I didn't say it verbatim like that, but that's really what I meant when I say it. And they just, every actor that they've cast for every character on this show has just been a phenomenal performance, really. And I keep saying phenomenal, it's really my favorite word, honestly. But yeah, we get to the mall where the majority of the Left Behind story takes place. And again, the production and the set design for the mall that they had to recreate, and so flawlessly done and captured. And we got all the moments and little references and Easter eggs from the game. Like, we got the Dawn of the Wolf poster that I was really wondering if we were going to get that. And also, before all this happened, when they showed Ellie in her room, she was reading a Savage Starlight comic, as you know, we've seen a couple of times on the show already. And then when we get to the mall, and if I sound a little emotional, it's because, yeah, I was crying during the ending of the episode, as I'm sure millions of people were watching it. But yeah, the mall just looks so beautifully well done. So it looked like a legit abandoned mall. You know, we see, you know, abandoned Victoria's Secret and a bunch of other stores. I think there was a Target in there. There was a CVS, and I looked like in the far background, there was an abandoned Best Buy in there as too. But yeah, we get all the great moments. We get a fun little moment with, because Riley's going to show Ellie the four wonders of the mall, and the first thing that Ellie sees is the escalator, and, you know, wondering if that's one of the wonders. Riley says, sure, there can be five wonders of the mall. Because you have to understand, this pandemic and the infection has been around for 20 years at this point in the story. And Ellie is only 14 years old, so she has not experienced any of the things that we have experienced throughout our lives and really take for granted. So Ellie seeing an escalator for the first time, she, as someone who has lived 14 years in this, you know, world of The Last of Us, yeah, you would react to seeing an escalator as well. And then we get to one of my favorite moments from the game, and then getting to see it here. It's the little carousel with the horse carousel thing, the merry-go-round, whatever you want to call it, on the horses, and just that beautiful moment. And just, can you feel the genuine love that they have for each other here? That love that only a best friend, a true best friend, if you know what I'm getting at with that, the kind of love that they would have. And then the ride shuts down just like it does in the game. One thing I will say that I am slightly disappointed in, we didn't get the brick master moment like we did in the game, which I understand, because that's stuff like that, yeah, it's a fun little Easter egg, but those kind of things don't always translate best to live action. Just my opinion, just would have been fun to see that, you know, that little sequence. But yeah, then we get to another one that, and I got excited, I did start to get a little teary-eyed when we got to the photo booth right across from where the kit from the carousel is. And yeah, we got the little bunny on the screen. That was a lot of fun. And I feel like I'm jumping all over the place and I'm forgetting some things, but that's okay, because I've never, you know, presented myself as being the most professional of podcasters and YouTuber. I just speak from the heart, speak without a script, although I did used to speak from a script years ago, especially when I did those, my original release of Snyder Cut series of episodes where I covered Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Wonder Woman, Suicide Squad, and the 2017 Justice League film. Though all of those, I had an actual script written out, and that was a lot of, that actually was a lot of fun. But I feel better just speaking from the heart without a script, and might have some notes here and there, but I don't have any notes here. But then, yeah, we have the photo booth moment, and they get the little printout of the pictures, and Riley gives them to Ellie, and then when they leave over there, we see them go over to another little Easter egg from the game, which is also actually a double Easter egg, Raja's Arcade, because Raja is a reference to Uncharted, Drake's Fortune, the character of Eddie Raja, so it's a double Easter egg. It's an Easter egg for Uncharted and an Easter egg for the Left Behind DLC, because that is the arcade that they visit, where Riley helps Ellie envision playing this arcade game that was not in the game. It doesn't function, but here we actually see them getting to play the games. And this little Easter egg that I just thought was really cool, they had Daytona USA arcade stand from the Sega game that my brother and I used to play on Sega Saturn. That was so much fun. I probably got most excited for seeing that out of all the little things that are on this episode, because that was one that I did not expect. But then when they do get to it, and we had the reference in the earlier episodes of the Mortal Kombat 2 arcade, and we get to actually see them not have an imagination fight, they have an actual fight, they actually play the game. Well, we have a few matches that they do. The two fights as Raiden versus Melina, then the time passes by, and we're led to believe that some time has passed by, and they're playing again. It's Melina versus Baraka, but in the middle of all that, we see the camera pan out of the arcade and down to one of the other stores, and we see that there's an infected person just, there laying dormant, but he's awoken now. And then after they finish playing with the arcade, I can't remember exactly at which point, because again, there's a lot of little moments and references pulled directly from the game that I'm trying to remember. It's not all in, I'm not remembering it exactly in the sequence that they showed on here, but because we do eventually get to the moment where Riley and Ellie kind of get into it over, like, Ellie's just like, because she's still hurt that Riley had left her for 3 weeks at that school, that Fedra school, and when Riley came into the room to take her for the night and go to the mall, that's where she learns that she had been recruited by the Fireflies, by Marlene, explaining that one of the nights that she had snuck out, that Marlene was impressed by her ability to be so stealthy and avoid the guards and being seen and getting past the federal guards and all that. So she recruited her right then and there. So they kind of get into it over that, because Ellie is very staunchly believing in the ideals of Fedra, Riley's in the ideals of the Fireflies, and they're butting heads over that. And as you do, it's a natural thing, kind of like real life with Republicans, Democrats, liberals and conservatives butting heads all the time because their ideals don't match but anyways. And other little moments, because then they get into it, they have their little moment, and she takes her to like a little back, for some reason I want to say backstage, but I know that's not the right term. The back areas of like the little stores in the mall. And then she is reading to her the, no pun intended, volume 2 book, because that's where Ellie gets the book from. She gets it from her, because we see her reading the first book in her room, and then this is the volume 2, T-O-O, as we were introduced in episode 3. And while they're there, Ellie's snooping around and sees a bunch of little bombs sitting under her sheet on a nearby shelf, and realizes that these are made by Riley, because Riley was stationed at the mall, by the Fireflies. But Riley's pleading with her, saying, I would never allow them to use this on you. And then Riley's just like, you know, yeah, you think that you have that kind of power, whatever kind of thing. And then she storms off and leaves her angry, and then she turns around, comes back, starts hearing some screaming, and runs down the hallway of the mall, you know, thinking that Riley's in danger. And she gets to the Halloween store that I was really, really, really hoping that we were gonna get to see on here. And yes, we do. And Riley is kind of hiding, you know, like, oh, this is the, you know, big one that I knew you were gonna love. And so we got the fun moments from that, and Ellie still resistant to, you know, forgiving her for that little bit. And and then they decide to have some fun in there, and we get one of my favorite things that I'm so happy that they've again pulled out from the game is we get them dancing on top of the little thing in the store. Although in the game, it's not in the Halloween store, it's in a different spot where they have the water gun fight, but they don't have the water gun fight here. But oh, and the other little Easter egg callback that I think this one is a reference to part two, when Joel takes Ellie out for her birthday and she's saying she's trying to guess all the different presents that it could be, mentions, you know, dinosaurs and a bunch of other stuff. It's been a little while since I've played the Left Behind DLC, so I don't remember if it's in that one also, but I feel like it's more of an Easter egg to part two. But anyways, but yeah, Riley takes out the Walkman from her bag and plugs it into the stereo of the store, and we get the cover of I Got You Babe, just like in the game. And she pulls out the wolf mask, gives it to Ellie, and then Riley puts on the clown mask, and I got so excited for that too, hoping that she was gonna have her do the roar just like in the game, but we don't get that moment, and it's okay. I'm just happy we got everything else on this episode, because honestly, as of right now, and I could probably have said this for every episode so far, this one is my favorite episode of this first season. As of right now, definitively my favorite episode. But yeah, they have the moment, they're dancing on top of the little counter, and Ellie takes off the mask, Riley takes off her mask, and then Ellie is pleading with her, don't go. And then Riley just says, okay, and then they kiss, just like they do in the game. And then Ellie's like, I'm sorry, Riley says, for what? And then both of them so happy, in love with each other. And that's when we get that, you know, happy moment from both of them taken away, because that's when the clicker shows up and all hell breaks loose, and they get into it with the clicker, and they both are bitten, and it's heartbreaking and devastating. And yes, this is where I start to get especially emotional while watching the episode, because again, I've played these games so many times and I know where all the story is going, but as I said to somebody else on Vero, that it's amazing that a game that I've played so many times can still hit me with such an emotional gut punch when I know the full story, where everything is going, where the fate of every character is going. It still hits me, and goddamn, they hit me so hard on this one. But yeah, after they both are bitten, they are both emotional, they are crying, and then we cut back to Ellie, you know, back at the house where her and Joel are staying, and then she decides, I'm not leaving you, and she starts searching through the house looking for tools because she's gonna try her best to save Joel. And so she's running through all the cabinets, looking through all the drawers, looking for something to use. Then it cuts back to Ellie and Riley at the mall. They're both angry and heartbroken because they know what being bitten means, they know that what's going to happen to them. And I'm so happy, this is another one that I'm so happy that they put it on the show. They're both emotional, and you know, when Ellie's saying, like, what are we gonna do? And then Riley just says, sir, we have two options. We can take the easy way out, be quick and painless. I don't like option one. And then option two, you know, we keep on going. Yeah, we just be all poetic and shit, lose our minds together. And then that's when I started to get a little more emotional and actually legit shared some tears at that when they finally said that line. And then we cut back to Ellie at the house. She finds a little needle and thread, runs back down into the basement, and starts sewing up Joel. And that's where the episode ends. And the thing, and I tweeted it out yet last night or the day before, I can't remember, because I was re-listening to the soundtrack for the Left Behind score, and the title track Left Behind, I was hoping that they were gonna have it, and yes they do. That's the song that plays over the closing moments and closing credits of the episode, and I'm just so happy because I love that they get to continue all that stuff from the game and bringing it onto this show. And that's it for this episode of The Last of Us. And next week's episode 8, we will get to be introduced to the character of David, where we will see Troy Baker make his appearance on here as James, the right-hand man, if you will, of David on the episode. And that's going to be a lot of fun to see Troy Baker on here. And that's my recap of episode 7 of The Last of Us, Left Behind. And like I said, it's my favorite episode so far. Two episodes left on the series. Next week's episode 8, where we get to see David, and then episode 9 is the finale. And I'm just so excited to see everything come full circle for the season and everything come back around. And I'm excited, and also I'm excited because I finally got my hands on a copy of the Part 1 remake. I have it right here in my hands if you're watching on YouTube, and I've been playing that off and on throughout the day, because I was given a Walmart gift card from my cousin for my birthday, and I saw that this was on sale on Walmart.com for like $20-something cheaper than the full price, so I took advantage of the gift with the gift card, and only had to pay out of pocket half of the price. I paid half of the half, so I basically paid a quarter of what the full retail price would have been, so yay me for saving money. I'm having so much fun playing it, and it, even though I've played the remastered version on PS4 so many times, playing this version with the updated graphics and the mechanics and everything else, it does feel different. I don't know how to explain it, it just feels different. It does. But yeah, and also, yeah, I think I remember seeing a couple of days ago how the factions multiplayer, they're still working on that, and that's going to be a whole new game coming out maybe next year. I'm not 100% certain on that information, that it's supposed to follow the story and continue the story of The Last of Us, but I don't know exactly what the story is going to be, so we'll see how that goes whenever more of that comes out. That's going to do it for this episode of the Men in Tights podcast. Thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing, and if you're not subscribed, please do so. YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcast, CastBox, Apple Podcasts. Speaking of Spotify, I was just looking at the analytics on here. I saw that I got 14 new subscribers for listening on Spotify, so thank you for that. And check out my reviews for the previous 6 episodes of The Last of Us, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And my reviews for the video games as well. And I will eventually do a review for the Part 1 remake. I won't be reviewing the story of the game, since I already did it an hour and a half of that, reviewing the remastered version in 2020. So this one will be more of a review/comparison between the two versions of the game. Talking about the graphics and the mechanics and all that other fun stuff. And thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do. This has been the Men in Tights podcast. I am Julian, and I will see all of you on the next one.